Chapter 16. As I washed my face the next morning, I thought about what I'd learned. People had talked to me, just as my father said they would. The only person who hadn't talked to me was Philip Leonides. I thought that was strange, especially as he knew I wanted to marry his daughter. Edith de Havilland had told me that Philip had been an unhappy child, jealous of his brother Roger. Could Philip have killed his father? Not for money, but so that Roger would be blamed for it. I looked at my face in the mirror. What was I trying to do? Prove that Sophia's father was a murderer? That wasn't what Sophia wanted. Or was it? Did Sophia herself suspect her father, and was she bravely trying to find out the truth? What did Edith de Havilland mean when she said she loved the family, but not too much? And why had Clemency looked at me so strangely before she said that Brenda and Lawrence were the obvious suspects? Everyone in the family wanted Brenda and Lawrence to be guilty, but they didn't really believe it. Of course, Brenda and Lawrence could really be guilty, I thought. Or it could be Lawrence and not Brenda. That would be better. But that was only what I wanted to be true. It wasn't necessarily the truth. Still, I wanted to talk to Lawrence Brown. So, after breakfast, I decided to visit him in the schoolroom. As I went into Brenda's part of the house, I noticed that none of the doors was locked, and there was no one to see me as I went into Aristide Leonides' bathroom. In the bathroom, I looked in the cupboard and found the bottles of insulin and syringes. Everything was clear, well arranged, and easy to get to. It was impossible for the police to find out who put the eye drops in the insulin bottle. Anyone could have done it. As I went through the house, I didn't see anyone else, though I heard Edith de Havilland talking on the telephone. When I got to the schoolroom, I stopped outside the door to listen. I was behaving just like Josephine, I thought. I was very surprised to hear Lawrence Brown talking with amazing imagination and enthusiasm. He was an excellent teacher. And although I didn't hear Josephine say much, when Eustace spoke, he showed that he was both interested and intelligent. After a while, the lesson ended and Eustace and Josephine came out. They looked surprised to see me, but while Eustace waited politely, Josephine went past me uninterested. I told Eustace I just wanted to see the schoolroom, and he opened the door for me. Lawrence Brown looked up and then quickly left the room. "You frightened him," said Eustace. "Do you like him?" I asked. "Oh, he's all right. He knows a lot, and he's a good teacher. He makes you see things differently." We talked for a while about history and poetry. Eustace, though he seemed to be bad-tempered, was an interesting person to talk to. I soon realised that he was bad-tempered because of his illness, which had been frightening and difficult for him. Before his illness, he had been enjoying his life and his time at school. "I wish I was well enough to go back to school," he told me. "I was going to be in the football team. I hate staying home and having lessons with Josephine. She's only 12. I said that Josephine was quite an intelligent girl for her age. "I don't think so," said her brother arrogantly. "She's pretending to be a detective at the moment, sneaking around and writing things down in a little black book. It's just silly. Mother is quite right to send her to school." "Won't you miss her?" I asked. "Miss Josephine? Of course not," said Eustace. "She's only a kid. Really, all my family are impossible to live with. Mother's always making a big drama about nothing, and Father's shut away with his books." I remembered how sensitive and embarrassed about my family I had been when I was 16. "What about your grandfather?" I said. "Do you miss him?" A curious expression showed on Eustace's face. "All grandfather thought about was how to make money," he said. "He was too old to enjoy his life properly. It was time for him to die. He..." Eustace stopped as Lawrence Brown came back into the schoolroom. "Please be back here at 11, Eustace," said Lawrence. "We've wasted too much time in the last few days." "Okay, sir." Eustace went out, leaving me alone with his teacher. Lawrence Brown was looking at me nervously. "How are other police getting on?" he asked. His nose twitched, reminding me of a mouse in a trap. Are they going to arrest anyone soon? I don't know, I replied. Lawrence became even more nervous. You don't know what it's like, he said quickly. Not knowing what the police really want. They keep asking strange questions. I let him keep talking. What Chief Inspector Taverner suggested about Brenda Leonides and me, he continued. It's just not true. The family has never liked me. His hands began to shake. They are rich and powerful, and I'm only a teacher. I didn't fight in the war. I knew I couldn't kill anyone. Everyone's always laughed at me. I always do things wrong. Everyone's against me. Whoever killed Mr. Leonides arranged it so that I would be suspected. What about Brenda Leonides? I asked. Lawrence's face reddened, and he suddenly behaved less like a mouse and more like a man. Brenda Leonides is an angel, he said firmly. She is sweet and kind and would never poison anyone. The police are ridiculous if they suspect her. He went over to a bookcase and began sorting the books. I didn't think he was going to say any more, so I left him alone. As I was walking along the corridor, a door on my left opened and Josephine suddenly appeared in front of me. Her face and hands were very dirty, and there was a spider's web in her hair. Where have you been, Josephine? Through the half-open door, I could see steps leading up to a small attic. Josephine replied briefly, Up in the attic, detecting. What is there to detect up in the attic? I asked curiously. I must wash, was all Josephine said, before going towards the bathroom. At the door, she turned back to me and said, I think it's time for the next murder, don't you? What do you mean, the next murder? I asked with surprise. Well, in books there's always a second murder about now. Someone who knows something is killed before they can tell anyone. You read too many detective stories, Josephine, I said. Real life isn't like that. The only answer I got was the sound of water from a tap, so I left Josephine to wash. As I went back to the other part of the house, Brenda came out through the drawing room door and put her hand on my arm. Well? She asked, looking up at my face. I shook my head. I don't have any news. I'm so frightened, she said. Charles, I'm so frightened. Her fear was very real. I could feel it. She was so alone. I wanted to help her, to make her feel safe, but there was nothing I could do or say. I suddenly felt that Sophia was watching me, and remembered her saying, Yes, Brenda does seem to get on well with men. The inquest is tomorrow, Brenda said, and I'm sure there'll be newspaper reporters there. Just don't talk to them, I said. Perhaps you should get a lawyer, Brenda, to look after your interests and advise you what to say and do. You see, I added, you're very much alone. Her hand held my arm more closely. Yes, she said. You do understand, Charles, and you have helped. I went downstairs feeling warm and satisfied. Then I saw Sophia standing by the front door. You've been a long time, she said coldly. Your father telephoned. He wants you to go back to London. Did he say why? Sophia shook her head. Her eyes were anxious. Don't worry, darling, I said, putting my arm around her. I'll soon be back.